Today is the 10th day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. Grateful to be here with you for another day, another step forward. Some more time in this safe oasis called the Global Campfire that we gather around every day together to take this step forward in community, showing up for each other, showing up for ourselves, and letting the scriptures have their way with our hearts as we do the difficult work of transformation. Because it can be profoundly difficult to surrender and to change or to repent. And so day after day, step by step, we allow the scriptures to seep deep into our hearts and challenge those changes. So let's take the next step forward. We're working into and through 1 Chronicles as we navigate the Old Testament. And we have been reading the famous genealogy portion of the scriptures. We're kind of at the end of that and moving out of it into some of the narrative territory that will be familiar because it's similar ground to what we covered in the books of Samuel and Kings. It just comes from a later time. A look back at those times from the time of exile, from the time where ancient Israel as we knew it ceased to exist. All of the tribes were carried away into two different empires. The 10 northern tribes were carried away and assimilated into the Assyrian Empire. The kingdom of Judah in the south was carried away into the Babylonian Empire and assimilated. And then Babylon was conquered by the Persian Empire. And so there was that assimilation, but it was the Persian Empire that allowed the Jews to return to their ancestral homeland and begin to rebuild, even though it was a part of Persia, not a part of, well, they didn't have their own sovereignty. They never did again. But that's the story. And let's pick it up. 1 Chronicles, chapters 9 and 10. All Israel was registered in the genealogies that are written in the book of the kings of Israel. But Judah was exiled to Babylon because of their unfaithfulness. The first to live in their towns on their own property again were Israelites, priests, Levites, and temple servants. These people from the descendants of Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh settled in Jerusalem. Uttai, son of Ammihud, son of Omri, son of Imri, son of Bani, a descendant of Perez, son of Judah. From the Shilonites, Asaiah the firstborn and his sons. And from the descendants of Zerah, Jeuel and their relatives, 690 in all. The Benjaminites, Salu, son of Meshulam, son of Hadoviah, son of Hasanua, Ibniah, son of Jeroam, Elah, son of Uzi, son of Mikri, Meshulam, son of Shephatiah, son of Ruel, son of Ibnijah, and their relatives according to their family records, 956 in all. All these men were heads of their ancestral families. The priests, Jediah, Jehoiarib, Jakin, Azariah, son of Hilkiah, son of Meshulam, son of Zadok, son of Merieot, son of Ahitub, the chief official of God's temple. Adiah, son of Jeroham, son of Pashur, son of Melchijah. Maasai, son of Adiel, son of Jazera, son of Meshulam, son of Meshulamit, son of Emer, and their relatives, the heads of their ancestral families, 1,760 in all. They were capable men, employed in the ministry of God's temple. The Levites, Shemaiah, son of Hashub, son of Ezraikim, son of Hashabiah of the Merarites. Bakbakar, Haresh, Galal, and Mataniah, son of Micah, son of Zikri, son of Asaph. Obadiah, son of Shemaiah, son of Galal, son of Jeduthun, and Berechiah, son of Asa, son of Elkanah, who lived in the settlements of the Netophatites. The gatekeepers, Shalum, Akub, Talmon, Ahiman, and their relatives. Shalum was their chief. He was previously stationed at the king's gate on the east side. These were the gatekeepers from the camp of the Levites. Shalum, son of Kor, son of Abiasaph, son of Korah, and his relatives, from his ancestral family, the Korahites, were assigned to guard the thresholds of the tent. Their ancestors had been assigned to the Lord's camp as guardians of the entrance. In earlier times, Phinehas, son of Eleazar, had been their leader, and the Lord was with him. Zechariah, son of Meshulamiah, was the gatekeeper at the entrance to the tent of meeting. The total number of those chosen to be gatekeepers at the thresholds was 212. They were registered by genealogy in their settlements. David and the seer Samuel had appointed them to their trusted positions. So, they and their sons were assigned as guards to the gates of the Lord's temple, which had been the tent temple. The gatekeepers were on the four sides, east, west, north, and south. Their relatives came from their settlements at fixed times to be with them 7 days. But the four chief gatekeepers, who were Levites, were entrusted with the rooms and the treasuries of God's temple. They spent the night in the vicinity of God's temple because they had guard duty and were in charge of opening it every morning. Some of them were in charge of the utensils used in worship. They would count them when they brought them in and when they took them out. Others were put in charge of the furnishings and all the utensils of the sanctuary, as well as the fine flour, wine, oil, incense, and spices. Some of the priest's sons mixed the spices. A Levite called Mattathiah, the firstborn of Shalum the Korahite, was entrusted with baking the bread. Some of the Kohathites' relatives were responsible for preparing the rows of the bread of the presence every Sabbath. The singers, the heads of the Levite families, stayed in the temple chambers and were exempt from other tasks because they were on duty day and night. These were the heads of the Levite families, chiefs, according to their family records. They lived in Jerusalem. Jael fathered Gibeon and lived in Gibeon. His wife's name was Maacah. Abdon was his firstborn son, then Zur, Kish, Baal, Ner, Nadab, Gedor, Ahio, Zechariah, and Miklot. Miklot fathered Shimeon. These also lived opposite their relatives in Jerusalem with their other relatives. Ner fathered Kish. Kish fathered Saul. And Saul fathered Jonathan, Melchishua, Abinadab, and Eshbaal. Jonathan's son was Meribbaal, and Meribbaal fathered Micah. Micah's sons, Dithon, Melech, Taria, and Ahaz. Ahaz fathered Jarah. Jarah fathered Elamet, Esmaveth, and Zimri. Zimri fathered Moza. Moza fathered Beniah. His son was Rephaiah, his son Elisha, and his son Azel. Azel had 6 sons, and these were their names: Azrikam, Bokeru, Ishmael, Sheariah, Obadiah, and Hanan. These were Azel's sons. The Philistines fought against Israel, and Israel's men fled from them. Many were killed on Mount Gilboa. The Philistines pursued Saul and his sons and killed his sons, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua. When the battle intensified against Saul, the archers spotted him and severely wounded him. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and run me through with it, or these uncircumcised men will come and torture me." But his armor bearer would not do it because he was terrified. Then Saul took his sword and fell on it. When his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his own sword and died. So Saul and his 3 sons died. His whole house died together. When all the men of Israel in the valley saw that the army had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they abandoned their cities and fled. So the Philistines came and settled in them. The next day, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, they found Saul and his sons dead on Mount Gilboa. They stripped Saul, cut off his head, took his armor, and sent messengers throughout the land of the Philistines to spread the good news to their idols and the people. Then they put his armor in the temple of their gods and hung his skull in the temple of Dagon. When all Jabesh Gilead heard of everything the Philistines had done to Saul, all their brave men set out and retrieved the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons and brought them to Jabesh. They buried their bones under the oak in Jabesh and fasted 7 days. Saul died for his unfaithfulness to the Lord because he did not keep the Lord's word. He even consulted a medium for guidance, but he did not inquire of the Lord. So the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, son of Jesse. Acts 27, 21 through 44. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul then stood up among them and said, "You men should have followed my advice not to sail from Crete and sustain this damage and loss. Now I urge you to take courage, because there will be no loss of any of your lives, but only of the ship. For last night an angel of the God I belong to and serve stood by me and said, 'Don't be afraid, Paul. It is necessary for you to appear before Caesar. And indeed, God has graciously given you all those who are sailing with you. So take courage, men, because I believe God that it will be just the way it was told to me. But we have to run aground on some island.' When the 14th night came, we were drifting in the Adriatic Sea. And about midnight, the sailors thought they were approaching land. They took soundings and found it to be 120 feet deep. When they had sailed a little further and sounded again, they found it to be 90 feet deep. Then, fearing we might run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight to come. Some sailors tried to escape from the ship. They had let down the skiff into the sea, pretending that they were going to put out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut the ropes holding the skiff and let it drop away. When it was about daylight, Paul urged them all to take food, saying, "Today is the 14th day that you have been waiting and going without food, having eaten nothing. So I urge you to take some food, for this is for your survival, since none of you will lose a hair from your head." After he said these things and had taken some bread, he gave thanks to God in the presence of all of them. And after he broke it, he began to eat. They all were encouraged and took food for themselves. In all, there were 276 of us on the ship. When they had eaten enough, they began to lighten the ship by throwing the grain overboard into the sea. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but sighted a bay with a beach. They planned to run the ship ashore if they could. After cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea, at the same time loosening the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and headed for the beach. But they struck a sandbar and ran the ship aground. The bow jammed fast and remained immovable, while the stern began to break up by the pounding of the waves. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so that no one could swim away and escape. But the centurion kept them from carrying out their plan because he wanted to save Paul. And so he ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to follow, some on planks and some on debris from the ship. In this way, everyone safely reached the shore. Psalm 8. God's glory, human dignity. For the choir director on the Gittith, a psalm of David. Lord, our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. You have covered the heavens with your majesty. From the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have established a stronghold on account of your adversaries in order to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I observe your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you set in place, what is a human being that you remember him? A son of man that you look after him? You made him little less than God and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all the sheep and oxen, as well as the animals in the wild, the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea that pass through the currents of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. Proverbs 18, 23 and 24. The poor person pleads, but the rich one answers roughly. One with many friends may be harmed, but there is a friend who stays closer than a brother. Okay, so high drama on the seas, basically, with the Apostle Paul, as he is making a journey to Rome to stand before the emperor. But man, this journey has been fraught with problems. And truly, seemingly, all was going to be lost at sea, as they're in a storm that they cannot navigate. And so there's 276 people that are powerless, just at completely at the whim of the storm for 2 weeks. They couldn't navigate, partly because they couldn't even see the sky. But even if they could have seen the sky, the storm was so powerful it was carrying them wherever it went. And so today Paul reminds people that they were warned about this, that this was completely avoidable. Let's just take that one on board for a second. The storms that we end up in, where we are powerless and we cannot see where we are going and we do not know what to do and we are just being pulled by circumstance wherever the storm goes. So often, it could have been completely avoidable if we had been paying attention. But Paul had some good news. No one's going to die. The ship is going to be lost. But I was informed by the God that I serve that nobody is going to die. And so take courage, because I believe what God tells. I mean, I believe God. And it will be just as he said. We are going to shipwreck, though. So it wasn't long before they actually did begin to perceive that land was near, even though they couldn't see it, and they couldn't see through the darkness, and so they're just waiting for some kind of daylight at all. And so they're taking soundings. They're finding out how deep it is, and they're seeing that they're getting shallower and shallower. Some of the sailors are trying to escape and abandon ship and lifeboats. Paul told the Roman soldiers, like, if they get off this ship, everyone will die. This time, Paul was heeded, and so they cut the ropes. It had been 2 weeks now. They were just trying to navigate and fast without eating, so everybody is 2 weeks into not eating. And so there would be some weakness from that, and they were going to need some strength. They're going to need some carbs, right? They're going to need some energy. Because they are about to shipwreck and they're going to have to swim. And so Paul encourages everybody to eat. And that turned out to be sage advice. And as the light of day is coming, they see a shoreline. They see a bay. They try to make a run for it. Open up the sails. They are going to run aground. They're just trying to get out of the weather. But they hit this massive sandbar and the ship is stuck. And so it's stuck. And as the waves and the winds are pounding down, it begins to break the ship apart. So everybody is forced into the ocean. But everyone arrives on land. Nobody dies. They just have no idea where they are. So there had been advance warning. And then Paul steps in and brings calm in the midst of a storm. And that calmed everybody, whether they were a passenger, whether they were a sailor, whether they were a prisoner, whether they were a soldier. They all made it to shore. And we'll find out where they are tomorrow. And then Psalms today. It's a beautiful psalm. Psalm 8 is a beautiful, beautiful psalm that orients us to the big picture, a much larger story than any of the storms that we face. The psalmist says, when I look up at the sky, when I see the work of your fingers, when I see the moon and the stars and understand that you put them there in place where they are, who are we? Who are we mortals that you even know about us, that you even think about us, that you should care at all for us. And yet, you created us just a little lower than you. And you gave us glory and honor. That's a pretty big picture of identity. God made us, crowned us with glory and honor, which means he does know that we're here, does know who we are, and he does want a relationship with us. So, back to the storm. We all face them, and they usually are avoidable. But if you're in a storm now, a storm of circumstance that is just pulling you apart, or a storm that you created, Psalm 8 gives us the chance in the midst of the storm and the stress to exhale and inhale clarity. We are not abandoned, and we are not unknown. So often it is we who are doing the abandoning, we who are doing the betraying, we who have navigated ourselves into the storm. But we have not been abandoned, and we may end up where we didn't plan, but we will end up if we will trust. And so, Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We thank you that as small as we are, as insignificant as we are in the grand scope of the universe, that you have created us and crowned us with glory and honor. We are your children. You know that we're here. But it's beyond just knowledge. You love us. You want us to know you and to navigate life by following you. And so, Father, it's stormy seas for lots of us, for lots of reasons. We choose to trust you now and look at a story that is much bigger than the one that we are living. Come, Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That's home base. So we find out what's going on around here. So stay tuned, stay connected. Check out the community section. That is where the prayer wall lives, which is an always on, never off thing, a resource available to the community here. That is not on social media, that's not really searchable or anything like that. That's a part of just the community, a place to go that we can share our stories and ask for our brothers and sisters who are taking this journey with us to pray for us, to encourage us. It's also a place to go and do that, pray and encourage others, because you may have noticed life can be a wheel, right? So there are times that we are in the valley and it's deep and dark and we need to not feel alone. And then there are other times that we're kind of up on top of things and we need to remember that we were in the valley and reach for those who are and encourage them. So the prayer wall is there. It's also where links to different social media channels that we participate in can be found. And certainly as we take a journey through a year together, following Daily Audio Bible on whatever platform that you may participate in, it's a good idea for just announcements behind the scenes. It's a connection. And so be familiar with the community section. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, Oh man, beyond gratitude. Beyond. Thank you. Beyond. Thank you deeply. For all these years around the global campfire. We couldn't do this. We couldn't have done this. If there wasn't a community and we weren't in this together. So I'm just beyond grateful that we are in this together and that this is something that is really happening. And we're really there and it's really happening every single day. So deeply grateful. And so thank you humbly for your partnership as we move through the summer. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, no matter where you might be on this big, beautiful planet that we call home. Or there are a number of numbers that you can call depending on where you are on this beautiful planet that we call home. In the Americas, 877-942-4253 is the number to call. If you are in the UK or Europe, 44-2036-088078 is the number to dial. And if you are in Australia or that part of the world, 613-8820-5459 is the number to dial. And that is it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. I'm deeply grateful for you today. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, everyone. It's Karen in St. Louis. I just heard Dr. John's encouragement to another brother whose wife is battling cancer, and I'm in total agreement with that. I think of that verse in 2 Corinthians where, you know, we point others to the God who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. I just believe in a God that uses it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And as hard as it is that we go through these things, God is using it to grow our faith. We have to really look at our lives in light of eternity if we are believers. We truly do. And to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, who is the one that calms the storms. He's the one that heals ultimately, whether it's on this side of heaven or the other, and the one that is our peace in the midst of those trials. And I'm asking you, brothers and sisters, to pray for me as I am just really wanting to be used by the Lord to lead my brothers and my my really good friend Dan and his wife Sue, as she is had cancer 5 times, and both of them, they do not know the Lord, and I am just praying that the Holy Spirit would speak through me as they wait right now to find out what the outcome would be of this biopsy that she has had, and that God would use me to draw them to Him. And I know that I've come to know the Lord in the midst of knowing Dan. He's seen the change in me and actually mocked me a lot in the beginning, but I just pray, brothers and sisters, that you would pray with me that they would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and submit their lives to Him.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible. This is Mirabel Viviana from Scotland. Thank you for all the prayers, and you can be sure I'm listening and praying as well. I do want to ask for support because additionally to the difficulties with our son, Sean, who goes in waves but has so great self-doubts and cannot stand it often. And we are very grateful that he managed to take part now in an explorer camp, what will do him good. But additionally to these difficulties and challenges, I have now learned that a very close friend of mine in Germany got hit by a tree and is in a very critical state. I met her and my visit in the beginning of June, and I just can't imagine it, that she's now struggling to survive with many various injuries. And yeah, I just would like everybody to help praying for her healing and trust, and also for her partner, her children and grandchildren, and all the people around her, that they keep strong in their belief that all will be well and in God's will. May God's will be done, and may we all be strong to support her on her journey now. Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm just quiet the last seconds with you.
Hello, DAB family. This is Michael from London. It's the 7th of July, and I want to give my condolences to the family and friends of Adrian, who recently passed away. I've been listening to DAB for 4 years, and her voice was one of the more prominent ones that I've heard over this time, so it has touched me to hear of her passing. I want to read out 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of sympathy, pity and mercy, and the God who is the source of every comfort, consolation and encouragement, who comforts, consoles and encourages us in every trouble, calamity and affliction, so that we may also be able to comfort, console and encourage those who are in any kind of trouble or distress with the comfort, consolation and encouragement with which we ourselves are comforted, consoled and encouraged by God." Lord Jesus, we give you praise at this time. It's a very sad time for Adrian's family and friends, Lord God. We pray in your mighty name that comfort that I've just read about will touch their every heart and every mind. We pray, Lord God, your peace will just comfort particularly Tim and Adrian's children as they try to navigate, Lord God, this loss. And I pray, Lord God, for all of us again in the DAB community who have been blessed by Adrian's voice and her prayers over the years, that we will continue to lift up her family to you, Lord God, because that's what she's been doing for us over many, many years. So we ask for your comfort at this time over Adrian's friends and family. And we ask all of these things in your precious holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Good afternoon. I just want to say a quick prayer for someone who called in Pam. I believe she was a first-time caller. And she wanted prayer for her work life and the stress that's involved. I am definitely familiar with that tactic from the enemy. And so I just want to lift you up in prayer. Lord, we pray for Pam. We pray that you renew her energy and strength each morning. Allow her to come to you when she feels empty and tired and can't find the motivation or drive she needs to continue with this job. And we pray for the job itself that things would mellow out, or things could be restructured or reorganized to allow her work to be more manageable. We pray that you give her strength to ask for help if she needs it at work, and that you would give, you would soften the hearts of her superiors, open their minds to hear what their employees are asking for, Lord. So we lift up this whole situation in your son's name, I pray. Amen.